is the Lord. Well, Lori, are there kids today? Okay, we'll dismiss the kids. Praise the Lord. And the rest of you, glory to God. How about that verse in Job? How many of you want to live the rest of your life in prosperity? I tell you what, I think I want to die by the sword. Go ahead. Golly, okay, fine. I think I'd rather live my life in prosperity and at ease. And, you know, the Bible says this, the blessing of the Lord makes me sad. The blessing of the Lord is really a pain in the butt. Gosh, no, it says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. See, if you got sorrow in your life and your prosperity and blessing, or your prosperity in your life and your riches in life is weighing you down and there's no joy to it, I tell you what, God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be at peace. Glory to God. So, I want to live my life in prosperity and ease. But you know, the fact is, the world's got a lot of stuff that it throws at you. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. I remember years ago, we used to do a wilderness training where we would take young people, typically age 15, 16, and we would take them into the wilderness areas for a week at a time. And, you know, they couldn't take their curling irons. Couldn't take their cell phones. Of course, we didn't have cell phones back in the day. We used tin cans, you know. I remember meeting with some other youth pastors at the time, and they were talking about what they do is they plan all this stress into these outings. And you got to put the stress in there. And I thought, you know what, you're nuts. Listen, your food and a tent and a sleeping bag and part of the team's equipment in your backpack, and I make you walk 20 miles in the mountains, uphill, both ways. No, we made them sure they had good boots. I don't need to put stress into it. There's enough stress. There's enough stress when it rains 24 hours a day and you everything's wet. I don't need to add stress to it. And you know, there's some people, I mean, life's just like that. Life's full of stuff, bad stuff, terrible stuff, some okay stuff. And I don't need then to teach you that God's out to hit you with a 2x4. He's a good God. Matter of fact, he came to redeem us from all that stuff. Now, he'll help us in the midst of the trouble. Okay? And if you disobey him, though, I tell you, it's not like he's disciplining you. He doesn't have to. The world will just beat the snot out of you. You know what I'm talking about? It will. It'll do that. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we need your help today. We thank you for your word that's able to change us and make us like your son. And so, Father, we're grateful that the word of God will impact us and it'll be imparted to us and we'll be changed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been discovering that there are kingdom prayers. Those kinds of prayers that God calls us to pray on a larger scale. And we've been learning that God wants us to link those kingdom prayers to daily bread prayers. Well, let's go ahead and even pray that prayer the Father taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it wasn't the Father. Obviously, it was Jesus who taught us that prayer. But, you know, the point is there are kingdom prayers. We're praying for the will of God to come to the earth. As we pray for a great awakening in America, that's a kingdom prayer. And how many of you know we need to have a great awakening? If we don't have a great awakening, we're in trouble. If Europe doesn't have a great awakening or another reformation, they're in trouble. We've got to have the power of God move in our lives. And so those kingdom prayers, the prayer that the Lord has assigned me, and I believe this ministry to pray, is the season of Aaron's rod for Israel, as we see the whole world turning against Israel. God, in one moment in history, is going to stand up and defend Israel in sight of all the nations. He's going to do it. But he calls certain people to pray ahead of time. It's like the prophet Daniel. He had been reading Jeremiah, just like you've been reading Jeremiah this week. And he was reading through Jeremiah, and he saw that the captivity of Israel was only supposed to be 70 years. And he saw that, and he began to pray that kingdom prayer. It's time, Lord, for the 70 years are up. It's time for them to come back to Jerusalem. It's time for them to come back out of captivity. And so that's what we're talking about. Kingdom prayers. Prayers that are bigger than me. Prayers that are bigger than us. Now, some of you might not be praying for Israel. Some of you might not be praying for a great awakening America. But you're praying for this ministry to increase and enlarge. It's a kingdom prayer. And we link the kingdom prayer to daily bread prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now once we do that, then we come and we say, Lord, I got to have daily bread. I got to pay the rent. I need a car payment. Kingdom prayers, personal prayers. And so it's so important that we understand that. Now, we've been learning also that we can, because of our covenant with the Father, through Jesus, we have access to everything God has. We can ask Him. There's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too big for us to ask God for. Now, conversely, God can ask us for anything. After all, remember, I shared earlier, we're bought with a price. You know, the apostle, St. John, good old Peter, you know, Jesus is talking, and this is after the resurrection. And boy, I bet those were some kind of days. Can you imagine walking with Jesus in His resurrected body? We're going to get to do that. And actually, He's living inside, but you know what I'm talking about. There's that wow. But they were there, and old Peter, you know, there was a rumor that, well, it came out of that. There was a rumor that John wasn't going to die. Because Peter was saying, well, what about him? You know, Jesus said to Peter, you know, Peter, you're going to die the way I did. You're going to be crucified. And of course, Peter, great apostle, man, he said, listen, can you imagine saying, listen, I'm not worthy to die the way the Master died. Hang me upside down. Oh, gosh. Oh, Jesus, and we complain about serving Christ. Well, at any rate, you know, and Peter, that whole story, and Jesus is talking to him, and Peter's, well, what about John? You know, guys, it's never about somebody else. It's always about you. Don't you talk to the Lord about me. You got enough of your own stuff. Now, you can pray for me. And you need to. We need to pray for one another. But don't ever point your finger at me and say, what about him, Lord? Why don't you? No. That's what Peter was doing. And Jesus said to him, what's that to you? You follow me. And see, so friends, the bottom line is this. What's that to you? You need to follow Jesus. That's a safer place to be. So here we are. And the Lord says, I want this from your life. So, but Lord, I'm asking for this. He go ahead and ask him. He may call on you. Just like he did Peter. And said, Peter, somebody else is going to bind you. Somebody else is going to, they're going to put you, and you're going to be crucified. You're not going to go where you want to go. And some of you, you need to serve Jesus. Well, I want to do it my way. No, you need to do it His way. He's the Master. But I tell you what, if here's the secret, guys. If you'll say yes to Him, He'll open up the bank book. He'll open up. You'll find yourself doing things that you just go, man, this is so good. But most people spend so much time fighting the will of God, they never experience the joy of the will of God. Somebody ought to tweet that. Okay. Now, we've also been finding out that we've got to live godly lives. Because, see, friends, the kingdom prayer is connected to my daily bread. But in between, I've got to live holy. I can't live the way I want to live. Now, the question I have is this. What kingdom prayer are you responsible for? What is it God has called you to pray? If you're called to pray for Israel, you need to be in the meeting tomorrow night. I mean, if Israel's in your heart, now, I know you don't have to go to the meeting to pray for Israel, but you ought to be there. Guys, this is not rocket science. And neither is it brain surgery. Okay. Everyone who's seen that video is laughing. Okay. You see, friends, if we've got faith, if we've got a genuine faith, and Richard Mayton calls it raw faith, if we've got a raw faith, nothing's too difficult for us. But we have to remember this, that faith, and it's a servant. You know, we read over there. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. We'll just look at that just real quick. And I'm going to have to race here. My wife should be about ready to land right now in Denver. Bless her, Father. Thank you for that safe journey. But in Luke chapter 17, this is amazing. Jesus is saying these things, and he's saying, you know, he's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about walking in the mercy of God. And if someone sins against you, you need to forgive them. And the apostles throw up their hands and say, then, God, you got to increase our faith. And, you know, as I look at these kingdom prayers, I think, God, I can't pray those prayers except you increase my faith, except you enlarge my faith. And it's so important. And so the apostles are praying for that. And he said, listen, all you need is just a little tiny bit of faith and you can accomplish these great things. The problem is we need to understand that even though faith is our servant, it will not serve sin. You need to understand that. Faith has been given to us as a servant to overcome the world, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. It's been given to us to overcome the world, but I tell you, friends, your faith will not serve sin. So what happens is so many Christians get frustrated in their prayer life, frustrated in their faith life, because they're not living a holy life, and they wonder why their faith isn't working. Okay, so, see, and here it is. Faith is crippled by sin. And when it gets crippled, when your faith gets crippled by sin, condemnation comes, shame comes, unworthiness comes, a sin consciousness comes. All you think about is that sin. It's because your faith is crippled. Your faith can't rise up above that sin. Your mind is stuck. So, friends, we've got to have a strong faith to accomplish the kingdom prayers the Father has called us to do and to pray for. Now, I believe each of us have got a calling, and you need to find out what that is. What are my kingdom prayers? You know, let's just get it. I know praying for Israel might be praying for revival in Germany and the German-speaking world, praying for revival in Poland, praying for revival in Nepal or in the Indian, you know, the subcontinent. You might think, oh, it's just too much for me. Well, I tell you what, here's a pastor who needs prayer. May I be your prayer project? I would love you to be, I would love me to be your kingdom project. Oh, God, do something with him. I would love it for you to say, Mark, God's putting you on my heart. Oh, I've been fighting it and resisting it, but I'm going to yield to it and begin to pray for you. How can I pray for you? I tell you what, I'd love it. But see, there is something God has called you to do kingdom-wise. Whether it's me or this church, our ministries worldwide, or whether it's Israel or Germany or Nepal or wherever we're put our hand. There's a kingdom prayer for you to pray. Revival in America. I don't know what it is, but there's a kingdom prayer for you to pray. And it's linked then to your daily needs being met. So, let's go on now. I'd like to just say You know, in this time of history, whenever you begin to press into kingdom issues, there's a conflict. The very term kingdom implies, doesn't it? One kingdom set against another kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 talks about us being translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And whenever kingdoms come in conflict, there is always a war. That's the way it is. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on this. And I don't want to have any bravado in my heart at this moment, but I just want to say a few things. The last 10 years, the spiritual pressure on Intercourt Ministries has been tremendous. We've seen some attrition in our numbers. We've struggled. And as a pastor, that is really hard. But that's because we're focused on some kingdom issues that the enemy doesn't want to see manifest in the world. I'm convinced of that. Now, I guess ultimately only time will tell, eternity will tell. But I believe that, and you need to understand. I was listening to Gloria Copeland, and she was talking about their ministry, and I shared this on a Wednesday night. I'll share it with you. Maybe I shared it with you as well. That's okay. You need to hear it twice. And they had some situations where their ministry was extremely in debt, $6-7 million, something like that. And she said Kenneth and her were pretty discouraged. And the next day was Kenneth's, there was a board meeting. And he hadn't even read the reports from all of his staff. And he was so discouraged about it. But he said he had to read them before he got the meeting. And he sat down and he started reading them. He said every department was showing success and blessing, but one. And that was the financial one. And he said, so something went off inside of him, and he went, you know what? We're not failing in this area, in this area, in this area, in this area, in this area. It's just that one area. And, you know, as I was listening to that first, Patty was listening as well in the car, and I said, Patty, even the Copelands get discouraged. I thought it went God the Father, God the Son, and Kenneth Copeland. I thought, how in the world? You know, well, maybe the Pope's in there somewhere too, but I mean, you know, it's just, I thought, wow. But now, please don't hear this wrong, but it encouraged me that Kenneth wasn't encouraged. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, well, he is human. And I just began to think about this ministry, and I think every area of this ministry is reaching out and increasing except these green chairs. Well, that doesn't make me as a pastor a failure. Now, if we were a gathering church, I'd be a failure. This isn't a gathering church. It's a prophetic intercessory church. It's a different thing. Oh, so now that means we got to do something. We got to make some corrections. That's why we're calling you to a lifestyle of invitation. That's why we're calling you and encouraging you to an Acts fellowship. That's why, you know, we're encouraging you to get on a motorcycle. Matthew and I went riding on Thursday. People come out of the woodwork to talk to us. We were getting gas. A guy got out of his car. He came over and started talking to us. Wow. We're driving down the highway. Guy's waving at us. Pull up in Cheyenne. A guy leans out of his car and starts talking to us. I'm thinking, I didn't know I was ever this attractive to people. The point is this. There's a niche for every one of you to influence someone. You young people, please, you need to influence your neighbor, moms and dads. Encourage your kids to get out and influence their friends to get them in here to Vacation Bible School. You've got an opportunity to encourage your kids to change the destiny of other children. Yeah. Well, I'm too busy. I'm too lazy. Get off your butt and do something. Well, I can't get them there. We'll get them there if you're too lazy to do it. Okay, I'm sorry. I crossed myself. Yeah, it's serious. I'm getting wound up. But you know what, guys? Somebody's got to get us off of our duff. Come on. This is why we provide opportunities, so that we can win the lost. It's about the lost. It's about telling men and women and boys and girls about Jesus and what he did for them. Well, this last decade's been tough, but I want you to know something. The intercession will continue. And we'll accomplish what the Father... I don't care if it comes down to nobody but me and my wife. She can't get rid of me. We're going to accomplish the dream and the vision of Jesus. We're going to do it. Now, I'm not boasting. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying that you would leave me. I appreciate Derek Prince. He was talking about that very thing. And he said, you know, he's talking about faithfulness. And he said, you know, it's dangerous to say to someone, well, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's covenant. It's covenant talk. I believe there are some covenants in this fellowship. But, you know, I'm thankful for that. And so I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that has to be the stand of faith. I say, when you get married, I tell you what, marriage today, people say, why should I get married? Because I see so much divorce. I see so much trouble. I just see, it's easier to live together. Yeah, it is. That means you can go whenever you want to go. It means you can leave her whenever you want to leave her. But before God, and it's the same thing with church. I tell you what, we ought to find out where God's called us, and we ought to get ourselves planted, because there is an assignment, there's a kingdom prayer, a kingdom assignment that we are responsible for. Each one of you are responsible for a kingdom assignment. You can deny it all you want to. You can stop your ears. You can sing a song, la, 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 while I'm preaching. But you're going to stand before God and give an account for something that he's called you to do. So just get after it. We'll encourage you along your way. We'll believe God for the money. After our first motorcycle meeting, I thought, my goodness, I got to believe God for 10 motorcycles. I was only believing for one or two. Now I'm believing for about 10. Glory to God. And I know some people have already flaked out and said, well, I can't believe for that. Well, too bad. I'm believing. Yeah. Hang in here with me and it'll get manifest. That's right. All right. And if we're all believing, it'll come easier and quicker, won't it? That's right. Yeah, me. Praise God. Okay, now, let's get on. Okay, so how are we going to overcome all this stuff? Jesus said, or John said this, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we got to come to a place where we see that faith is critical to our success in life. And if we're not getting our daily... Now listen to me. Listen to the spirit in which I say this. If you don't have faith for daily bread... You know where I'm going. If you don't have faith for daily bread, what have heaven gained and sins forgiven? You see, the same faith that produces daily bread obtains heaven's glories. The same faith that gets daily bread met and put on my table is the same faith that will answer those kind of kingdom prayers. Conversely, the same faith that is believing for these kingdom prayers will put food on my table. And so, this is why this faith challenge of last month and this month is so critical. Because if you're not getting daily needs met, then these prayers are could be iffy. Okay? And guys, there's just something about me. I'd rather find out now if my faith were faulty than to run all of my life thinking, oh, this is so good, heaven's going to be so good, and find out I'm not going to make it because the faith I had was a false faith. If I'm not getting my needs met here, which Jesus promises to give me, See, I have preached for 25, 30 years about God's goodness and a life of faith and what it'll do for you. Now, I'm not a millionaire like some of these big guys are that preach. I'll tell you, it's awesome. I was in a meeting with Kenneth Copeland. And it was a smaller meeting. And I never forget that day. He said, the Lord said to me, on his property, they had all these oil wells. And he said, I was fellowshipping with the Lord, and the Lord said, cap them. He said, cap them? Lord, that's what I need in order for the ministry to... He said, cap them. This will prosper you, and once this prospers you, you can open them up. That's why I like Kenneth Copeland. He is a man of integrity. So Jerry Savelle. Praise God. I love men like that. That's what he did. He capped it. And I'm sure that $6 million debt, he was going, but Lord. Finish that story, I guess I better tell it because, within 3 months after he got things adjusted, the debt was gone without uncapping the wells. Okay, so guys, here's the point. I don't want you to think that you've got faith. Oh, yes, I've got faith. If your daily needs aren't getting... That's why we're trying to link this month. Kingdom prayers, daily needs. What is this thing that God's called you to pray for? Then the seal, the sign, the indicator that this prayer is being answered is this daily bread. That's why it's critical we get these things answered, guys. That's why this pastor's trying to get you to walk. Let's get this junk out of our lives. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. You know that. I hardly ever preach at people anymore. Well, I used to. I was young and stupid once. Had a pure heart. But I was stupid. I've got enough junk in my life. I don't need to get into yours. Lord, increase my faith. Well, Jesus said this. He said, nothing's impossible to him who believe.
Well, now, Brother Spencer, you need to understand, Jesus doesn't really mean nothing. He was really speaking metaphorically. No, he said nothing. If you'll believe, nothing's impossible.
Okay, let's look at the Word. Matthew chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Matthew 5 would be good too, but we're going to go to Romans 5. And I'm going to go through a number of verses very, very quickly. So hang on. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith. Okay, here, let's go back to basics. What's justified mean? Just as if I'd never sinned. When you receive Christ as your Savior, it's just as if you'd never sinned. That's what Matthew said earlier. If you sin, run back to him quickly. Confess your sin. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is where it all starts. You're saved because you've trusted Christ. You've believed upon his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And you've asked him to come into your life. And now you have peace with God. And then verse 2 says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So the doorway is our faith to Christ. And then the same grace or the same faith that's working gives us access to everything else in the kingdom. Quickly turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You guys know this by heart. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ, maybe you're not a Christian. If you're afraid to stand up and say, I'm a Christian and I'm going to live for Jesus, maybe you're not a Christian. That's just a question I have to ask. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. There's that word believe again. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. So the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means so many things. We could say it this way. It is the power of God
unto getting my sins forgiven. It is the power of God unto my body being healed. It is the power of God unto getting me a new job. It is the power of God unto prosperity coming into my life. It is the power of God to peace in my mind. It's the power of God unto peace in my heart. It's the power of God into my children's lives. It's the power of God into my relationship with my wife. Whatever you need, it's the power of God unto. But the access is by faith. Now, Romans 12:3 says this. Romans 12:3 says that there is a measure of faith given to every man. Now, friends, you need to understand that God gives Dwayne faith. Dwayne's got great faith. Christina's got great faith. Bonnie's got great faith. Carl, he's got greater faith because he's married to Bonnie. I mean, you see what I'm saying? But there's some of us, we go, I just don't have any faith. You see? Every man has been given the same measure of faith. I've got the same measure as Kenneth Copeland. But I do. Now, there's different callings. There's different jobs. And so I dare not look at a person and say, and cry because I don't have their calling. Because I tell you what, his faith's operating on another level. He's a prophet to the nations. Now, but that doesn't mean that my faith is any less or your faith is any less. There is a measure of faith given to every man. Well, when I'm turning 60 like Mark, I'll have faith. No, you can have faith at 12. See, this is not an excuse. And so you need to understand. Now you say this as well. Well, my faith doesn't seem to be working. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the faith that's working in me, that measure of faith, is the faith of Jesus himself. Okay. So it's good for us to understand all this stuff. And you can say, well, Mark, I know intuitively, I know I need more faith. How do I get more faith? The apostles even prayed, oh, God, increase our faith. And we know that you should not be in this church and not know Romans 10:17. Therefore, faith comes by hearing and... just all said, I know it. Okay, so you know how to get it. You know how to get it. Well, the word of the Lord came to me this morning when I was watering my garden. And it's none of your business today. You might get to hear it later. I just, struggling over some things. And it just came so quiet. It came so soft. And I went, oh, yeah, duh. I went inside and wrote it down. Now, here's the problem with most Christians. You never spend any time in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken Word of Christ. You have to stick your nose in this book. That's why every month we're reading a book in the Bible. So you can stick your nose in that thing. I tell you, I confess to you, I just fallen into the thing of, okay, I got to do something. Oh, man, I'm behind Jeremiah, and there's so many days left on the month. Oh, no. I've got to read. How many chapters do I have to read in order to figure out? I'm the pastor, and I can't. And so I fell into that. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's just that conviction of heart, and you kind of go, Man, that's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. Ding! And you go, yes. And, you know, I'd fallen into it, and the Holy Spirit just spoke.
Oh, I wish that'd be on the tape.
You know, but it goes off inside you. Oh, Father, I'm sorry. I've made this a classroom exercise, not an experience of touching your heart, having you touch my heart. See what I'm saying? And as I did, I began to read Jeremiah with a new, fresh passion. And I tell you, Lord, I'm hunting now. I'm not just reading to get the pages knocked off, you know, and get out of my way so I can say I did it. But I was, Lord, what are you saying to me? And he began, I tell you, I began to see the goodness of God. I began to, oh, it was just really precious to me. Turn with me if you would, and we're going to start winding down. Mark chapter 11. You know, seems like a long, long time since I've taught this, but I just want to share some of this with you. If you've heard it before, don't you dare say, I've heard this before. I've heard it before. I've heard all the big name guys teach it. Well, obviously, you've not heard any of them teach it. You listened to them, but you didn't listening. You didn't hear it. These three verses will change your life radically. Four verses, excuse me. They'll change your life radically if you listen to them, if you'll obey them, if you do it. You know, Derek Prince says this. He said, the scripture talks about hearkening and listening and bowing your ear to hear the Lord. And he said, you know, you cannot bow your ear to hear the Lord without bowing your head. You can't bow your head without humbling yourself. And I tell you what, too many people think they've got they know the scripture because they've been a Christian for 20 years. Well, la-di-da. I know a lot of sick old Christians, poor old Christians, who could quote chapter and verse, outquote me, but it's not working in their lives. You mind if I shoot straight? And so here he says, Jesus is talking, and it's the story where he's cursed the fig tree, and his disciples, you know, it's an amazing story. And the tree is withered away. And Jesus answers to them and says, you know, you need to have my faith. That's what he says. He says, have the faith of God. Most translations are afraid of that. They say, have faith in God. But it really says, have the faith of God. And Jesus is saying this, have my faith. Well, how do you suppose, friends, we're going to get to John chapter 12, verses 12, 13, and 14, where Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll do greater works than I did if we don't have his faith. Means you can have his faith. Storm, stop. Dead, be raised to life. Leprosy, go. Blindness, gone. Some of you are going, huh? Well, that's where I'm going. I don't know how far I'll get, but that's where I'm going. World overcoming faith. Now, so Jesus said, have my faith. And then he says, for verily I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Yeah, the blab it and grab it group, name it and claim it.
Yep. Yep. That's what Jesus said. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, can't be any doubt, but shall believe that the things which he believed, no, but shall believe that the things that he did, no, believe the things he read, believe what? The things he says. See, here it is, guys. You put things in your heart. You put junk in your heart. I tell you what, we'll find out what's in your heart. We'll have a test. You know, there are some churches that have a test. They bring out the rattlesnakes. Isn't that stupid? You know, we'll start a new No, we're not going to do it. Well, I'm just kidding now. But what we'll do is we'll find out your faith. I'll bring a hammer next Sunday, and we'll just, everybody bring your, and I'll bring a little anvil, and we'll just put that, and everybody comes up here, we'll find out what's in your heart. We'll smack your thumb with the hammer. What comes out of your heart? You know, it's kind of dangerous because, you know, when I hit myself in the head with about a 12-foot log, Matthew, what came out of my heart? You don't remember. I do. What are you laughing about? I was praising the Lord. I did. I praised the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, I may have said that too. And then last week when I dropped a 70-pound, 5-gallon bucket on my little toe. And I wasn't wearing shoes. I was wearing Birks, you know? Glory to God. I'm happy to report that either one of those times I did not swear. Now, there's no boast in that because I don't know about tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, I do know what came out. And I'm convinced, listen, I'm convinced what the first things come out of your mouth sets a course. You hit yourself in the head with a 16-foot 2x4, or actually it was about this big. Most people would have immediately started swearing, cursing, falling on the floor, going, oh, my God, what's that? And they'd have gone up and they'd called 911, and then they'd had a concussion and probably a fractured brain and all that kind of stuff. Within 3-4 hours, the big bruising on my foot left. You set a course with your words. First thing out. Now, I knew they were going to fire me. I knew that job wouldn't last. I knew that. Yeah, that's right. I knew I was going to get sick when vacation starts. Every time we have vacation, I get sick. First day. Yeah? Oh, my. Well, let's just finish this up, and then I'll close. Not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Friends, I want to tell you this right now. You have in your life what you've been saying. And there's some things in my life. I'm adjusting my words. Even today, I think, Jesus, you think after all these years I'd get this down. Well, I am getting it down, and I'm changing some things that need to be changed. Because there's some words been coming out of my mouth that have not been. You know what? You don't have to use a curse word to curse. You can, I got a bum leg. Pretty soon you'll have a bum leg. You're cursing yourself. Well, my family's never amounted to anything financially. We'll just never, you know what? You're just cursing yourself. It's a curse word. Stop it. Be it. I like what Derek Prince says. The curse stops here. Stops here. My parents were Christians. My grandparents were Christians. Some of them got in by the skin of their teeth, but they got in. But I tell you what, they didn't have any clue of spiritual things. My wife and I had to say, the curse stops here. Yeah. We've had to fight that thing. It's okay. I got the equipment to do it. And you do too. We've got a faith that overcomes the world. We've got a faith that overcomes sin. We've got a faith that overcomes sickness and disease. We've got a faith that overcomes failure and struggle and depression and discouragement. And, yeah, I'm a world overcomer. So are you. But remember this, your faith will not work, and it will not serve sin. The sky's the limit for you if you'll believe God, but sin will keep you earthbound. So this pastor's trying to get you out of that earthboundness so you can begin to soar, and you can begin to believe God for kingdom
issue. So you can begin to believe God for those things out there that most saints only dream about. Do you really believe that your prayers could affect Israel? Yes. Do you really believe that your prayers could bring a great awakening to America? Yes. Do you really believe that your prayers could change Longmont and cause Longmont's prosperity to be increasing? Yes. Do you really believe that your prayers could get your husband or wife or kids saved? Yes. And Father, thank you for meeting my daily needs. And because I'm delighting in you, Father, you'll give me the desires of my heart. And the young lions may suffer want, but the righteous will want for no good thing. He not only wants to meet my needs, he's got my desires covered, and he'll even cover my wants if they're righteous. Oh, if I didn't have my flip-flops on, I'd start running. Glory to God. Well, I tell you, friends, one more verse, and we'll close with this. Matter of fact, why don't you stand to your feet? Uh-oh. Okay. Here it is. The time to favor Zion. The set time has come. Oh, I wish you were Wednesday night's prayer meeting. Guys, I don't know why more of you don't come. I mean, yeah, I know sometimes we just put in our time. You know, we're there worshiping the Lord, praying for one another. But I tell you what, there are times Jesus just shows up. He showed up Wednesday night. It was, You know, all right. Some of this will not compute for any of you, but I hope it will on some level. I would go to a year's worth of meetings for one meeting that Jesus shows up. Now, he's in every meeting. Because he said, if you're gathered there in my name, I'll be there. But I tell you, there's times he specially shows up. I mean, he's here today. But there's just, I would not miss a meeting for a year to be in one meeting Jesus shows up at. All right. And one of the things that we were just talking about, a prophetic word. I think Danny had a prophetic word about now. Is that it? Best is yet to come. 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 And then you said, now is that best, is the yet. That was the next word. The yet is now. And then I just shared that verse of Psalm 102, verse 13. The set time to favor Zion has come. Some of you, put up the confessions, would you, again, Lynn, would you do that? I don't know, five, was it 12:5? Psalm 90, verse 16. 17. You know, some of you are reading this going, oh, Lord, just give me a little favor tomorrow. If I could just get a little favor at work. Maybe tomorrow I'll get my healing. You know, I need a little flag. I need a little something to wave at the Lord, you know, kind of like, you know, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. It just help me a little bit. Oh, Lord, just tomorrow, if I could just have a little favor. I mean, it would be better if I had a hanky, you know, just kind of a little hanky. But that's what you're doing. The time to favors, oh, thank you. Oh, won't you help me? Won't you help me, Lord? Friends, the time to favor Zion, the believing people of God, has come. It's here. Jesus said it himself. You don't believe me? Read it in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I'm going to raise the dead, and I'm going to heal the blind, and I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor. Which means poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. He said, I'm going to come and preach the gospel. And he says, and proclaim the acceptable year of God's favor. It is now. So you don't have to fight for favor anymore. If you're a Christian, God's favor is on your life. And you need to change your thinking. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been thinking that favor's off in the future. I didn't get my message done, guys, but I didn't. I've got a whole... But here, I guess we'll just have to continue.
Faith is now. See, if you're hoping for your healing, that's all you got's hope. And faith will manifest it, but hope won't manifest it. Now, hope's important. Hope is a springboard for faith. You got to have hope to lay a platform, to give you a blueprint, to see what you're looking and believing for. And so some of you don't have any hope. You need to get some hope. And that hope will begin to build a blueprint. It'll begin to build something in your life. You can begin to put your faith on solidly. Praise God. Well, you need to, I want you to declare this, and then I'm going to pray for you and we'll dismiss. But I don't want you just, amen, you know, I say this every Sunday, I'm so bored. Oh, gosh. You know what I suggest for those of you? Oh, man, yeah, why not? What have I got to lose? What have I got to lose? Okay, for those of you, I've heard all of this before, Pastor. Okay, I tell you what you do, stupid. Proverbs, I got in trouble for saying that once in church, but I read in the Proverbs, it said this, hey, stupid, how long are you going to be stupid? So listen, you those of you who think you've heard all this before, you go home instead of going out to eat, and you get yourself a Better Homes and Gardens, and you cut out the finest looking meal you can find, and you put it on that dinner plate, and you serve that tonight for dinner. See how long you get with your family. Because that's all you're doing. You've just taken the Word of God, and you just said, I've heard it before. Well, just show your family a picture of roast beef. Just put it on their plate. So that's all you're getting. We had it before. God, I tell you what. Matthew cooked steak the other night. I think Patty, I talked to her a little bit. She said, how are you guys just, oh, we're eating good. I think I heard a little disappointment in her voice because Patty's really a good cook, but we've been eating good. I tell you, he cooked a steak the other night. I thought, oh, man. Matter of fact, I bought some more. I said, cook it for Mom when she gets home. Well, maybe we just ought to take her and show her the picture. I want you to eat this, guys, like it's your favorite food. Because it will change your life if you'll believe it. Are you ready? Father, we're going to receive this. We're going to believe it. We're going to declare it because we do believe your word, and your word will not return void. You'll accomplish all that you said, and you'll do what you said you'll do. And Father, we're going to dare to believe you right now. Amen. Let your work. Now see, guys, this is a prayer. It's not just some kind of throwing some word. We're asking the Father. Ah, glory to God. You're addressing the Almighty God. Are you got it checked inside? You understand the circumstance? Oh, amen. Here we go. Let your work, the signs of your power, be revealed to your servants and your glorious majesty to their children. And let the beauty and delightfulness and favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Confirm and establish the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands. Confirm and establish it. Now give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Have a great week. In Jesus' name, expect the favor of God. Hallelujah.